My God, goodness, I've got this many people, I just may talk forever. I'm pretty good at that. But I've been studying this lesson all week, and you know there are two times a year that we have these familiar lessons. We have his birth at Christmas, and we celebrate his resurrection, but then we cover the death up till that time. So when I was looking at this morning, it just came over me. I think we all need to take 30 seconds, close our eyes, and put yourself in Jerusalem at this time. Put yourself there and imagine how you would feel if you were an eyewitness to what Jesus went through, just for 30 seconds. Father, we are so thankful today, especially today, for the gift that you have given us, the gift of life that you have given us, the path that you have set for us. We just pray, Lord, that we will be found faithful when it comes down to that time. Guide us, direct us, dear Lord, and we pray that we feel what Jesus felt. We just want to be there with him. Amen. I am so sorry. Okay. Jesus bears God's wrath. Well, you know, last week we studied about the agony that Jesus was going through. Because he knew, he had told his disciples several times that I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be killed, and then 3 days I will rise again. He had told them this, but when it got right down to it, they didn't know. They didn't understand. And I, like I said, putting yourself there at this time, would you have understood? And I asked myself that question, and I can't honestly say that I would have. I would have felt sad. I would have felt sorrow. But I don't know if I would have felt the agony that he felt. So that's why I wanted us to put ourselves there this morning. And why did God put Jesus through this? For you, and you, and you, and me, and me. He put us all through, he put Jesus through that for everyone here, for all of the people. And if we don't recognize that before we leave this world, then it's going to be very sad. You know, we'll get right into the lesson.
If he would have chose not to have done that, because it was his choice,
yeah.
And if he would have chose not to have done that, look where we would be today.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. I mean, what a plan. I mimic Lee Corder there. He always says, what a story. What a story that this is for us that to take from, to learn from, and to appreciate just exactly what God did for us. And, you know, he knew from the very beginning. That's why in the beginning, it was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They were all there. God knew from the very beginning what was going to happen, what was going to take place, what he was going to have to do to his son to save people. And that's his desire. He wants everybody to be saved. So we are in the book of Mark. It's just a continuation of our lesson for last week where they arrested Jesus. You know, Judas was the traitor. He turned him in. And they arrested Jesus and took him away. So this is a continuation of that. And this is what happened to him in the next little while. So if somebody would read the first three or four verses there, it's Mark 15, verses 16 through 20, please.
The soldiers led him away, O King of the Jews, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit.
Okay, so these are the soldiers that arrested him in the garden, And they have taken him into this hall. They call it the Praetorium. And before the whole band, you know, like, you ever watch these shows where they say, okay, let's get the band together.
Yeah.
Get the band together. So what they're doing here, they amassed their band of people, which I'm assuming would be other Roman soldiers and others there. So they got them together because they wanted everybody to see this. But their reason for wanting everybody to see it and God's reason for wanting everybody to see it was not the same. They wanted everybody to see it because of what they were going to put him through. All of the mockery, all of the degradation. What does it mean that they put a purple cloth? What did they use purple cloth for?
Royalty.
Kings, royalty. They put the purple robe on the royalty. So they were making fun of him because he claimed to be a king, or he was a king. Then this crown of thorns. We've got one right up there on the wall. And if you would take that down, I mean, those thorns are that long.
They're horrific.
They're horrific. That's right. If any of you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, when they put that on him, the blood just trickled all down his face and head from where those thorns. And it says they didn't just lay it on his head. They pushed it down. They wanted those thorns to penetrate the skin. The first question, I usually forget to do these. Why did the Roman soldiers put a purple robe and give him a crown of thorns? Why?
Wasn't because he claimed to be king of the Jews.
Yeah, but it wasn't because they were honoring him. It was for mocking him. Exactly. They were going to mock him. Okay, then did he retaliate? Did he do anything?
No.
When they were at the trial, when he was asked questions, what did he say?
Nothing.
Well, the one question he did answer, they asked him if he was king of the Jews, he said, it is as you say. It is as you say. Yeah, I didn't say it. You said it. So that was another point that he made for him.
But he didn't stand up and say anything else. They
no.
asked him more questions.
He didn't try to save himself, did he?
It shows how what a sinful state the old world was. Also shows us the beauty of the obedience.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Well, these were the Romans, and the Romans hadn't paid much attention to Christ during his time, during his ministry, had they? No. He had more or less been with the Jewish people, right? And Gentiles were coming in as well, but the people that were in control of Rome, they weren't paying any attention to him. And that's what, when they thought they were getting, when the people thought they were getting a savior, they thought they were getting somebody to
rule,
to take over the government, to relieve them of the Roman rule. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a relief. So then after they put this purple cloth on a robe on him and they put the crown of thorns on him, then they started to salute, you know, okay, yeah, we'll salute you. You are the king of the Jews. Hail, the king of the Jews. And then they started if the crown wasn't enough abuse, they started the abuse of, they hit him with a reed, they spit on him.
It was a common thing for the people to kiss the king.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of them kissing him, they spit on him.
They spit on him,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then they bowed down, got on their knees, hail, king of the Jews, mocked him. Well, then after they got through with all this, they took off the purple cloth and they began to take him out. Question number two wants to know.
You look on into the future. Those people have done all those things to him. They'll be the
Okay. The ones that treated him the worst. How do we know that Jesus' death at the hand of the Romans was not an accident?
It was prophesied,
wasn't it? Like I said, I think it was God's plan from the very beginning, but it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And particularly here in Isaiah 53, he was referred to what? Christ was referred to what? The suffering servant. The suffering servant. Okay. All right. They led him out to crucify him. Who did they crucify back then? The worst of the worst, didn't they? The worst of the worst were led out, were crucified. So this was the most horrific death that they could put on anyone.
It was a horrid death.
A horrid, yes, it was.
I mean, really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
There were different types of crosses they used.
Huh?
There's different types of crosses that they used.
Yeah.
They said the one beam that they carried, I looked it up.
Well, you know, Christ didn't, if all of the pictures that we see, of course, we don't really know what he looked like because we weren't there, but all of the pictures we see, he didn't appear to be a very big man.
No.
Okay.
You're right.
Just average size.
Beam.
Yeah, just average size. So to lift and carry something like that, of that weight, yeah.
Up a mountain.
Yeah, right up a hill.
Up a hill.
What was that guy's name?
Diamond. That's in the next verse. Okay. All right.
They didn't get rid of that beam. They saved it for the next.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. They were recycled. And his, yeah. But having them carry their own cross. What's the
humiliating and also terrifying. I mean, you're carrying the very vehicle that you're going to be put to death on.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were recycling it, it probably had everybody else's blood on it also.
Oh, this is true.
And so how horrifying would that be,
mm-hmm,
to carry the very vehicle that they're going to put you to death on?
Exactly, yeah.
That's what we carry today. We're to honor God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, this is another way. When you just took that 30 seconds, you think about that cross. How heavy is that cross? All things considered, it's like a feather compared to what Christ went through. Just like a feather. Okay, now we're going to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus. And this is several verses there, so I've kind of gone through and broken it up a little bit. If somebody will read 21 through 26, please.
They compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, father of Alexander and Rufus. He was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, and he did not take it. When they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of the King of the Jews.
Okay, thank you, Susie. So this is, like Diane said, this is Simon, who just happened to be passing by. Now, what was going on in Jerusalem at this time?
He lived about 800 miles away.
How many?
800.
But why were they in Jerusalem?
Passover.
Passover.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there
was from Africa.
Oh, okay. Cyrene. Okay. So there was a lot of people in Jerusalem at this time because of the Passover. And this route that they took out of the city to get to Golgotha, it was a heavily traveled street, you might call it, I guess, street, walkway, whatever it was. So there were a lot of people around at this time because of Passover and whatever. And why was it necessary that they go out of the city? It had been prophesied as well. That had been prophesied as well, that he would be taken outside the city. What else happened back, if you go back in the Old Testament and read, what else did they do outside the city? All right, when the priest took care of the animal sacrifices, the carcasses and everything that was left over, they took them outside of the city, and that's where they got rid of the refuse, I guess we'll call it, of what was left over.
It's the same hill that Abraham offered Isaac on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Okay. All right, so it says it was called Golgotha, the place of the skull. What about, why did they call it that? Well, look at the pictures.
Yeah,
we got a picture. If we got the pictures, it just looks like a rounded head, doesn't it? That's what it looked like, and that's why they called it the place of the skull. Okay, then the next thing here, they offered him wine to drink mingled with myrrh, but he didn't take it. What's the significance of mixing the myrrh in with the wine?
Painkiller.
It was a painkiller. That's right. Now, how many of you going in for any kind of surgery would say, okay, skip the drugs. We'll just go right to Carvin. Not many of us would. I do remember my husband had a lot of ingrown toenails. And he went to a Dr. Baber in Clarksburg. And Dr. Baber was so gentle, he cut out every ingrown toenail and never numbed it. Butch went to him for years. And then Dr. Baber retired. The new doctor came in. The first time Butch went to him, Butch said, he said, well, Dr. Baber never numbed me. So the guy probably took off his whole toe. So after that, when he went back, he didn't mess around with it. He said, okay, just cut this thing out permanently. But anyway, when we're all faced with the pain of something, generally the human side of us is going to say, okay, take the drug. How about another thing I thought of, woman in labor. She wants to do natural childbirth. Okay. Then you get right down to it, and she says, okay, I'll take the drugs. I mean, we just are not built that way, are we? We are just not built like Christ was for what he endured. Our human self, I don't know what you call it, what part it is about us, just will not let us do that. Okay. So then he did not take the numbing stuff. And then they crucified him. They parted his garments and casted lots. Now that was a normal thing. Whatever, but I did read something in one of the other Gospels, it wasn't in this one today, that his cloth was in one piece.
Yes.
And they didn't tear it up. They didn't cut it up.
That made it more valuable.
Made it more valuable, yes. So they left it intact. But who was it was casting these lots for his clothes?
The soldiers,
the ones that put him on the cross, that's right. And then it said it was the third hour, which is what time?
9
a.m., and they crucified him. Well, then they put this inscription over his name that said, the King of the Jews. Again, was that honoring him?
No.
A total mockery. They're still in mockery. Yeah, I read that too.
The crowd, all that would come would see.
Mm-hmm. So they could all read it.
To make sure everybody.
Everybody understood. Yeah. They covered all their bases, didn't they, Gigi? Yeah. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
They crucified him at 9 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why did we always think it was between 12 and 3? 12 and 3 was the 3 hours of darkness.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
So they started to crucify him at 9, but he didn't die until noon, and then the 3 hours of darkness. Okay, got
Thank
it.
You.
All
well,
right.
Actually, the 3 hours of darkness, he still had the. If my thought on this is that he still had the sin of the world on him, and God couldn't look at him with all that sin. So that's when
Hence
he
the
turns
darkness.
Back and the darkness. That's
yeah.
The,
okay.
That's my thought. I could be wrong.
That's when the judgment occurred. God poured his wrath.
Well, the Bible said God will not look upon sin.
Right. Exactly. And that, if we go back to last week's lesson, that again is the part of the agony that Christ was going through, knowing that he was going to be separated from God for the first time. Mm-hmm. For the very first time.
He not only suffered physically, he was suffering during
time. Well, I would say his spiritual suffering was far beyond his...
He did.
Most people look at the cross and think that he suffered a lot, but he didn't suffer much on the cross. Where he suffered was spiritually those 3 days that he was in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
He had to take our sins... away, and he was busy those 3 days.
Yeah, what a burden, right? What a burden. And you know what? what a burden you feel when you've just done one little thing wrong that you know you regret, and that just kind of eats away at you, don't it? Yeah.
He had to go by himself. He didn't. The Holy Spirit didn't go with him, or God didn't go with him. As long as he was on the cross, God was there with
him. Still there.
And the Holy Spirit was with him until he
gave it up.
Told the Holy Spirit to go.
Okay.
Leave him.
Yeah. Well, I did not realize that, Gerald.
Yeah, he says, "I give up the ghost."
Yeah.
But the beauty part about it, when he stood up out of that grave.
Mm-hmm. That's what we have to look forward to, isn't it? Okay. I think that's all for that one. So if somebody will read the rest of that, 27 through 32.
And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with his transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, and we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him.
Thank you, Nancy. So he was crucified between two thieves. Again, why was that important?
To show the difference between Jesus being sin.
But what else?
He showed how much love he has for each.
But
and
it,
one of them accepted him, and one of them denied him, and that's like a perfect example.
But
in Scripture, what I feel.
The thing about this, too, this had also been a prophecy.
Yes.
So that fulfilled the Scripture, that he would be numbered with his transgressors. So they railed on him. So they're still making fun of him and saying, "What about this temple that you're going to destroy it and build it again in 3 days? And then they tell him, "Save yourself. Come down from the cross." They had no idea, did they? Question 6 asks us, what was ironic about the Jewish leaders' taunt of Jesus?
They had no clue.
They had no clue. But what was the irony?
He saved us by not coming off the cross.
There you go. There you go. They wanted him to come off the cross and save himself, but staying on the cross, he saved us. Yeah, they didn't get it. They didn't get the irony.
The two thieves probably suffered more than he did, so they broke his legs and they smothered to death.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, he didn't smother or anything.
He died on his own terms, didn't he? Yeah, he died on his own terms. Because that's what they do.
Fulfillment of prophecy, too, that they didn't break his legs.
Yeah.
That was another prophecy.
But that's what they do. They hang him out there early in the morning, and then
they get tired
before sundown, it's got to all be over. See? Yeah. So that's why they break the legs, and then they can't hold themselves up. And
right,
they
suffer.
They smother, yes.
But then for him, the prophecy did say,
not a bone was broken. All right, so we have, in addition to the Roman soldiers that are there mocking him, we have the chief priests. The chief priests. They still had no idea who Christ was or what he was here for. And I'm not sure if they really didn't know or if they just really didn't want to believe. They were so intent on keeping their place. You know, they had rule of the temple. All the people looked up to them, followed them, boosted them up. They stood to lose so much for what Jesus was going to do. And that's why they were afraid of him. And they wanted rid of him. They wanted him out of the way. So
they
that
they didn't realize that by not accepting him, they lost so much more.
Mm-hmm. How about these, Roger? You say the ones that crucified him are the first to be judged. How about these chief priests at that time? that stood by and actually turned him in. They were the reason that he was arrested to start with, because he threatened their rule. He threatened their place in the temple. Yeah, he saved others, but he cannot save himself.
But didn't, and again, those people that run, and it didn't cross their mind, or they couldn't understand.
Or would not be able to.
The Spirit, they wouldn't understand.
Well, you know, that's true. We have Christians, believers, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to say that it opens up everything to us if, our mind, that 30 seconds that you did there, if you put your mind in the right place, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. It will be there. And it will tell you this way. Go right, not left. Go up, not down. It will guide you, but we have to be open to that.
We have to be able to listen and hear.
Yes, yeah.
Now, and Isaiah 40:31. Those are the
ways
the Lord is speaking, you understand.
Okay. And do you get that understanding just reading that one time?
No.
No. It's a lifetime thing. You read over and over, and almost every time you read a passage of Scripture, you're going to get something new. Because God just does that. He speaks to us that way.
You have to say yes and give the Holy Spirit permission, or he won't do nothing for you.
Yeah, you got to be open. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And God gives us what we need when we need it, and he doesn't overload us with everything all at one time, because we will be so overwhelmed.
Our little pea brains can only just take so much, and God meets us where we are.
Right.
Right. Okay, now we're going to talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, and I broke that up too. So if somebody will read 33 through 37. Okay, so here we are, the sixth hour, Mimi. And there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. This was the time, Gerald, did you say this was the time that... What'd you say? These 3 hours. I can't remember already.
He said 3 days when he was in the prison.
Oh, okay.
He said 3 hours when he took our sin.
Okay. And that's what the darkness was.
Yeah.
Sin
that's
is...
That's what I've always been taught.
Sin is darkness. Get it? Sin is darkness. And this L-O-I, L-O-I, Lama Sabachthani, I never heard anybody pronounce that as good as Craig Michael. You remember our ladies of that spoke to Jesus? Yeah, he was just so good at that. Okay, why did they give him a vinegar on a sponge?
That was a regular army drink that the army people carried.
And that was for what? Dehydration?
Thirst.
Okay, wow. Well, vinegar is supposed to be good for you in small doses, but I don't know.
I was always taught that, I mean, by the time they did that, Christ was in such terrible condition that was just another moment, that he would have been so dehydrated and so exhausted, and when they put liquid to his lips, it was vinegar that they gave him to drink, and then...
Just didn't stop, did it?
Sure, they could have gave him water.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, from what I read, it said that the medics fell for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would always think why there were different people that tried to give him the wine, you know.
What's the significance of them thinking that he was calling for Elijah when he called out here?
Because he was a prophet.
Elijah's somebody that they all recognized, wasn't it, from Old Testament. And then he cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Okay, here's another thing. You read obituaries. Do you ever read that somebody cried out with a loud voice and then was gone?
No.
No. They all pass peacefully, don't they? They pass peacefully in the arms of their loving, you know, family and everything. This is the only instance that I know of that someone cried out loud when they passed.
I held my mom's hand.
Yeah.
Instant her, she took that last breath.
Uh-huh.
Her hand,
wow.
That
yeah.
Right there where she went.
Uh-huh. See, that's the memories we have, isn't it? Now, I don't know, like I say, I don't know of anybody that cried out with a loud voice. Maybe someone that is possessed by the devil. You know what I'm saying? And that's the devil crying out. That's the devil doing the yelling.
Well, the other two had, they broke their legs and they didn't have enough breath to say anything.
They couldn't cry out. Yeah.
Plenty of air to holler out.
Yeah, they had their time wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of them did. Okay.
Darlene, on verse 37, New King James says, and he cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last.
Breathed his last, yeah. Okay. Two more verses, 38 and 39. We'll finish this up.
Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God.
Okay, what's the significance of this veil being ripped in two?
From the top to the bottom? If you hang a piece of cloth up and you try to tear it from the top up, but it's almost impossible to tear from the top down.
They go from heaven
I
down.
Just keep learning and learning. What, Gerald, what'd you say?
They ripped from heaven down.
Okay.
That let everybody into the very presence of God.
Yeah, I like
that. Without that being ripped down from the top to bottom.
The significance of this is that, what did this do? This took us from the old covenant to the new. What was the old covenant?
Only certain people could go in there.
The priest could only go behind this veil once a year.
Yes.
Okay. So they took that barrier away. And what does that mean? We have direct access. We don't have to go through anybody.
We can go back. We could have spent a lifetime trying to look at what the future holds.
Yeah.
And never been able to see without that veil being there.
That's right. That's right.
Then how many people take advantage of that?
Yeah. Well.
It's the people's
it's
choice.
So, yeah.
Because just like Adam and Eve, that's when the Holy Spirit came back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. But is the...
So how privileged are we? I mean, beyond reason, it's more than we can comprehend. Well, let's see.
Whenever we come to the place where we can take and look upon things that without that we can't see, that's when we'll have eyes open up to each other.
Yep. Okay. He achieved victory. Not over the Roman enemy, but over the enemy of sin and death. And that's what we're thankful for. Anybody have any questions or comments? I guess I went over because they're running me out. See, Mimi, you're bad influence.